Hello everyone and welcome to the Continue Cast. What is the Continue Cast? I know exactly what you're thinking. What is going on? I'm going to quickly tell you what's going on. So, is it still Continue Music? Yes. Yes, it is. But before I go into what this is, there is going to be there's two different types of people listening to this. Two sorts of people listening to this. There's people A that are aware of Continue Music. They're aware of Arta and myself and what we are doing. And they're just continuing to listen to us and supporting us. And if you're one of those people, we thank you. And we thank you for your patience, because it has been a long time coming since the last episode. I think the last episode was like last September or something. Like, if you want to come in, if you want to come in to Arta's amazing studio that he's got, and you still want to have a video interview with us, we can still cater to that. We can still do that. But this podcast is just a way just to keep it going. It's a way to just keep Continue Music alive. I just want to give a shout out to Anthony Martin. Anthony Martin came in and he helped me out with this. He drove to come and help me get this figured out. He helped me download this whole new program, and because I just didn't know. So without Anthony Martin, I wouldn't even be here right now. So if you're listening, Anthony, I love you. Thank you so much. Honestly, I just wouldn't be here without you. I'm going to be interviewing artists one-on-one here in my apartment. That is what we're doing. The Continue Cast is still a part of Continue Music. It's just the audio version. Now, I've just finished recording my first episode, and I'm so happy. I had Josh Hassel come in. Josh Hassel came in, and we spoke about all sorts of stuff. We spoke about his early school life and how he wasn't the most confident person, which is crazy because when he's on stage, he seems like the most confident person ever. We spoke about his songs from his latest EP. We went track by track on his latest songs of his EP. We spoke about his journey, his timeline of when he first started music up until now. And it was just a great chat with him. He's got so much to tell, so much story to tell. And it was awesome. And what better way to have someone on your first episode that's just really interesting, really fun. So, yeah. So this is the Continue Cast, episode 1 with Josh Hassel. Well, it's a big day for you, Joshy boy. Up the Chelsea.
Chelsea. Yeah, I've got a feeling it could be our day, you know.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. You know, everyone has an underdog story, don't they?
Exactly.
We're definitely underdogs.
Yeah, exactly what I want Chelsea to win. It'll just be... I'm kind of done with the whole Jurgen Klopp farewell tour.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to win the trophy for Jurgen.
Yeah.
It's all for Jurgen. Yeah. No.
It's his last season, and the writing's kind of on the wall that he will win it. But, you know, I think Chelsea have got something up their sleeve. You never know.
Well, I mean, I saw that Man City game the other night.
Yeah.
They played really, really well.
Yeah, they did.
Like when Sterling scored, I was like, because you're right. Mm. We all love an underdog story.
Yeah.
Because if Chelsea win, that's huge. If Liverpool win, it's like,
yeah. I know, yeah. I just don't want it to go to penalties again. Not again. Please, not again.
It was two finals last year, FA Cup and League
two
Cup.
Two finals.
Liverpool-Chelsea, and it went to penalties.
Yeah.
And yeah, I remember. Yeah.
Both of them on penalties.
Go on, give me a quick score prediction.
I'm going to go 2-0. No, 1-0. 1-0 Chelsea. 1-0. I think it'll be a very tight game. We'll shut them out. Hopefully, if we can keep them out and grab a goal late on, then yeah. I think I'm going to go for that. 1-0.
What, 1-0 in 90 minutes?
Ooh, extra time actually.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think it will be a tight game.
Go give me a goal scorer, because if you get this right, this would be insane.
Enzo Fernandez.
Enzo Fernandez, yeah, yeah. 1-0 in extra time.
Yeah, he's been banging a few in recently. I think
I saw that one against Palace. He scored.
Yeah,
that was decent.
And Villa.
Yeah. That's true.
200 million quid for a free kick of that. But he's done nothing until he started
to pay it back from that free kick.
Yeah, slowly started to pay it back.
Well, good luck. And that's the reason you were here so early, because we didn't realise the kickoff was at 3. And I was thinking, if West Ham was in a cup final, which probably would never happen again in my lifetime, but if that happened, I would want to watch it.
Yeah.
So we've got to do this thing early so you can get and watch Enzo Fernandez score that 90
96 minute extra time
winner. Yeah. That's interesting.
How were you when West Ham were in the final last year? Was it last year?
Yeah, it was last year. Yeah. It was last July.
But you were going mental.
Yeah, I was sitting here and I just, when Jarrod Bowen scored that winner, Hannah was sitting on the sofa there.
Yeah.
And he scored it. And Hannah hates football. She hates football. But even when Jarrod Bowen scored, she even like looked up off her phone and was like, wow, that's pretty mad.
Yeah,
and I just sat there. I don't know why. I was on the floor crying. I was crying.
Oh, God.
Because it's just, but in my entire lifetime.
I get it. Yeah.
I never ever thought I'd see us win something. I mean, everyone will say it's like a third-rate trophy. But you've also, another reason is I had a season ticket last year and we were rubbish. We were so bad all year. We had nothing to shout about. And then we end up winning this cup.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah.
But like, I wish you the best of luck today. I'd love it if you won to put some sort of stop to this Jurgen Klopp farewell tour, this whole thing.
It'll shut the Arsenal fans and Tottenham fans up as well, you know. Arsenal's best season, or last few seasons in ages, and we're the ones with a trophy. It will shut them up as well. So
exactly.
That's another incentive, yeah.
Well, good luck. But, I mean, we could do a continue football podcast because we could ramble on about football.
We could.
But we are here for your music. Okay. Now, whenever I go around like the local scene, you know, local gigging, local open mic nights, whatever, your name will pop up. Someone around the open mic night would have heard of Josh Hassell. It's true. It. And the reason being is because you have been doing this for years. For ages. I remember when I first met you back in October 2017, I remember I had a little stalk of your YouTube channel. And it was, I think it was like 14 years ago, you put your first YouTube video up, which is Elton John cover, your song.
Oh, yes,
That was years ago.
2011, yeah.
But like, I just want to go back to like the timeline of Josh. I want to go back because I want to try and see like how you got to this point. Okay. See what I mean?
Yeah.
So like the first like kind of question I want to ask is like, where'd you go to school? What was like junior school like for you?
So I went to school in Rochester, but I didn't sing throughout like primary school. It was secondary school when I started doing music and singing, doing school concerts and etc. So yeah, year 9, age 14, 13, 14. So started doing concerts and then it all started from there really, because I never really wanted to get into singing prior to that. So from that school concert, did a few more throughout school and then went to college, studied music and then started doing gigs from there. So I'd say 17, 18. My parents were massive in that department.
Like, so what year is that in 17, 18? Are you in like, is that sixth form? I forgot what year it would have been.
Me too. When I was 17, that's 2012 actually. That was sixth form.
So you started doing music in sixth form properly?
Properly, like gigging, yeah, because before that, just concerts in secondary school. And then sixth form, I did like the odd gig here and there and school concerts as well. So yeah.
So what was you doing in junior school then? Do you remember?
Nothing musically.
Nothing. Was you doing?
I can't remember. I think I was just, any other, I guess, kid would do in secondary, like focusing on the other subjects. And
yeah. What squad was you in?
Like,
so like I don't know if your school had it, but there's always like these little squads, these little sections. So you have like the smokers.
Oh, right.
Yeah. You have the bullies. Yeah. You have the people that just want to play football every day. You have the other section of like the introvert people who just play Yu-Gi-Oh and Pokemon. Do you know that kind of like everyone called them the nerds? But
do you know what? I think I was a mixture of the nerds, the nerd group. Because I did like a bit of Yu-Gi-Oh Pokemon when I was younger.
Did
stuff.
You?
Yeah, I did.
Really?
And then played a bit of football. So I was a mixture of those two groups.
So you got around those two groups.
Yeah, I was a hybrid.
A hybrid. I like that. That's good. That's good. That could be the thumbnail. Josh Hassell, I was a hybrid.
Okay, yeah. I was a hybrid, yeah.
But that's interesting. How was you get into the Pokemon thing then? Was it just because you wanted to try and fit in junior school at that time? And you just, that was something kind of cool to do?
Yeah, it's just, it's the trend, wasn't it? But back in like sort of primary school, 2005, 2006 days, Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh, you know.
Did you have those binders?
Binders.
Because people had those like binders where they put all the cards in.
Yeah, I think I didn't have one, but a couple of kids had them, and I was pretty jealous.
Did you have? Was you one of these people just had a big like stack of cards? Like
I did. Yeah,
you had a big stack.
Quite a few decks, to be fair. Quite a few decks. That's decks. D-E-C-K-S.
That's interesting. I never would have seen you as like a Pokemon kind of guy. Was you still into it when this whole Pokemon Go craze was happening like 4 years ago?
No, I wasn't into that. I say Pokemon. I only just joined with the trend, but more so Yu-Gi-Oh.
Why? Yeah. What's the difference? I have no idea much about it. But what's the difference between Yu-Gi-Oh and Pokemon? Is there much of a difference?
Yeah, it's different. I mean, they're two different shows, two different games. Like, I mean, there's a card game of Pokemon. Pokemon was mainly just a TV show, really. I mean, the card game sort of came along later, but Yu-Gi-Oh was like predominantly a card game. That was like in the actual show as well, like people playing cards and...
And you preferred the Yu-Gi-Oh?
Yes, I was more into that, yeah. Oh, and Beyblade. Oh, I forgot about Beyblade.
You're kidding.
Yeah, I loved Beyblade.
I had Beyblade.
Yeah.
Did you have one of those arenas?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Our school did a Beyblade tournament.
Did you?
Yeah, I remember in year 6.
Oh, my gosh.
I came second.
It's so funny because junior school for me, I was a bit like that.
Right.
Because I did have I used to come in, I'm not even joking, I had this big like bag, like a big like black plastic bag, and I would bring in my Beyblade, arena?
Yeah, so like, it's kind of shitty arena.
Like a plastic bowl, wasn't it?
Plastic bowl, yeah.
Yeah. And then I would be the one to host like the competitions. It was so funny, but Beyblade was so cool.
Yeah, I just used to use the kitchen floor. Sometimes, because it was easier.
Yeah, the kitchen floor.
Like, get everyone out the kitchen. Mum, Dad, go do something. I'm going to use the kitchen for a bit. Just like,
do you still have your Beyblades?
No, I don't think so.
I don't know. I wonder. You've made me think. I wonder if I've still got them up in the loft.
Yeah, mine might be somewhere, but I don't think.
Beyblade was so good. Your team's taking me back. That was so good.
So those three: Pokemon, Beyblade, Yu-Gi-Oh, were the trends.
Yeah.
Primary school.
That was like your junior school life.
Yeah, that was my junior school life, and then secondary school. Even the start of secondary school, I still wasn't into music, and it just sort of like randomly came about. Like my dad sort of said, like, you should enter a few school competitions, go for a few school concerts because. Got a decent voice.
But how did he know you have a decent voice?
I think maybe like family karaoke nights or like family, I don't know, sing-alongs one evening. I must have sang at some point and he must have heard me.
Yeah.
Him and mum. And so I was like, okay, I'll go for it. I'll do some concerts. And I was really nervous.
So what, like, because when it comes to parents, parents are really like over happy and overconfident in their offspring. So you could go outside and do hula hooping and I could do hula hooping. My parents would go, oh my God, you're so good at hula hooping. Do you know what I mean? So like your parent comes up to you and says, oh, you're really good at singing. Initially, are you like, really? Are you kind of, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I was like that, definitely. I wasn't sold on the idea, 100%. And it was only like when I did a few concerts and then confidence was slowly growing. And then I think the first few concerts, like seeing the reaction from the audience as well. And I was like, oh, this is actually, I might be able to pursue with this. And then, I think from this, the confidence grew slowly but surely. But yeah, it took a while for me to be sold on it, really.
What was that first gig? Do you remember?
Yes, it was a school concert in year 9. I can remember, I can picture it now. It was like, I was singing Bad Day.
Daniel Powter,
yeah. And I just remember when I was singing the bridge, I think the lines in the bridge are, sometimes the system goes on the blink and the whole thing turns out wrong.
Yeah.
The lights went out, it's a power failure. As soon as when I was singing that line. And I was just like, oh, this is just...
But the show must go on. Did you keep singing?
Yeah, I kept singing. I was pitch black and I just kept singing.
Really?
Yeah. The lights turned back on, I think, in the final chorus. I could have easily just stopped there. I know, that's the most nerve-wracking thing to happen on your first concert, isn't it? The first gig I ever did in public, concert. And that happens. Wow.
But then the next one happens and you don't have a power cut and it's easier. So eventually, because I've had that once happen to me before at Poco, the power went off and then I had to stand in the middle of Poco and everyone shined their phones at me.
Okay.
And I was, you're right, it does make you really, really nervous. Mm. But then for something like that wacky to happen on your first show, it kind of sets you up for which has been a long decade plus of gigging.
Mm.
So you do this initial gig, but then what happens after that? Are you booking gigs yourself? What happens after that?
After that, so my first gig I remember was a wedding fair. It was at Commissioner's House in Chatham. Just remember seeing like the advertisement for it, wedding fair going on at this place at this time. So yeah, I built up a little bit of a set list, learnt some Michael Bublé songs, some jazz songs, wedding stuff, you know. And yeah, booked myself onto it. Can't remember how much it was exactly. But yeah, booked myself onto the wedding fair. And that sort of like was the moment when I decided that I wanted to do it, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Singing throughout the day, watching people go past, and got a few bookings. Obviously, I was still quite young, just starting out, so I only got a few bookings at that time. But yeah, I just remember afterwards feeling like really positive and thinking that I was going to pursue with it.
So how old was you when you done the wedding fair thing?
I was 17, yeah.
So you're still quite young.
2012.
Like, I wish I started that young, like properly. Like, that's so good that
you started guitar, like, ages though, but before, when you were younger. I wish I started guitar before, you know?
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. That's a good point.
So I was just singing at this point.
So at this point then, you are, how would you define yourself? Would you define yourself as just a singer? A wedding singer? Like, how would you define yourself?
Yeah, I think
at that point,
I'd say singer songwriter.
So was you writing songs at that point?
I did write my first song. Do you remember That's Just How the Tune Goes?
Yeah,
that was the first song I wrote. That was when I was that was around that time. I think 2012, 2013, something like that, when I wrote that song. So I had I was writing some songs and getting into it. So that's how I'd define myself.
At that point, you would have still defined yourself as a singer songwriter.
Yeah.
Did the songwriting happen before the wedding fair or post wedding fair?
Post wedding fair. Post wedding fair.
That's really cool. Yeah. The thing is, like, so you're booking weddings, and then do you then start to book more weddings, and then do you start to book gigs to play this original stuff? How does that all kind of go?
So, yeah, so after the wedding fair, got a few bookings there, you know, like a few weddings. So did those gigs, and I just remember feeling more and more positive with it. They went pretty well. And then I think booked more wedding fairs, did a few local gigs. So my parents sort of got the word out around, I grew up in Cliff. So like there's a Cliff social club, Cliff Woods is not far from us as well. So I think they spread the word. They just got me a gig at Cliff Woods social club.
Yeah.
Just like a load of older ladies, like 70, 80 year olds. That was like one of my first gigs, doing some sort of like, you know, Beatles set and I don't know, sort of oldie kind of music. So that kind of made me think, oh, I should vary my set list. And then from that point on, just learnt many different songs from different styles. So it just built up really. But yeah, just local gigs at first I was doing, and then slowly branched out more.
So are you studying at this point still?
At this point, yeah, I'm still in sixth form.
So that's what's kind of crazy for me. Like, how did you navigate that? So you're studying, you're at sixth form. What, do you remember what you were studying?
I was doing a sport BTEC, media BTEC, and a music BTEC. Yeah.
So you're doing three subjects in sixth form.
Yeah.
You then are learning a catalogue of songs to sing at, say, like weddings, clubs and stuff. And you're also, because you're obviously writing songs at this point as well, are you?
Yeah, I mean, not as much as I'd say a couple of years ago, but I was writing like the odd song maybe like every few months.
So the songwriting was kind of like in the distance.
Yeah, in the distance, yeah.
But the studying, and you're learning this long catalogue of songs for your gigs and stuff.
Yeah, and like doing music, studying music helped, because I could kind of put the two together. I could kind of learn songs in those sessions, you know.
Because that's one thing that, I mean, I've been to a lot of your gigs and stuff, and what I think you're so talented at is you know how to read a room. You've got such a long, vast catalogue of songs that you immediately can tell like what sort of audience and sort of crowd it is, and you know what songs to sing to get them up.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's really cool because it really shocked me. I mean, I remember I went to like three gigs back to back once of yours, and like you pretty much sang a different song every, and it just blew my mind. Like, how on earth, how long does that even take? Like, is it fun? Is it like a chore at a point to learn all these songs?
Not really. No. It's never been a chore to me, to be honest. You'd think it would be after doing it for so long.
Yeah.
But no, it's just, I think what drives me and gives me the passion for it is seeing people's reactions.
Yeah.
Seeing everyone, even like in a pub when everyone's drunk, you know, seeing everyone sort of like having a good time, having more drinks, sort of singing along to whatever song I'll be doing. And yeah, just sort of seeing people happy, seeing a good atmosphere around the place just drives me on. So it makes me think like, I want to do these songs for them. I'll learn some Stevie Wonder because everyone likes to dance a bit of Superstition, Once in My Life sort of thing, and so forth, you know? So yeah, that's what drives me on. And I'm thinking if I'm decent at it, which I hope I am, then I'll just continue doing it. It's a good career path to take.
Yeah, well, you are good at it. And you're constantly, I look at your like Facebook music page, and obviously we'll plug the hell out of you towards this so everyone knows your social handles and stuff, but you've got gigs. Do you know, I'd love to know the stat of how many gigs you've actually done. If you could put a number on how many gigs you think you've done since that Power Cut debut gig, how much do you think you've done? How many gigs?
I'd love to know that figure as well. I've not kept track, but I mean, so last, I'm 28 now, so last 6 years, I'd say I've been sort of regularly getting maybe 2-3 gigs a week. The maths, I'm terrible, but I don't know, would that add to like 50 a year or something like that?
I'm so bad at maths, but it's a lot. Like, it's so many gigs. It's so many.
The mathematicians listening to this will be like, cringing. Like,
you're so bad.
Yeah,
it must be in the thousands.
Must be.
Has to be in the thousands.
Yeah.
Somewhere. Yeah. But it's a lot of gigs, a lot of experience. And how? So you're doing all of this. When do you start? Because then you start doing open mic nights.
Oh yeah.
How does that happen?
So I think the first open mic night, it's a funny story. So we've got a mutual friend, Joey.
Yes.
And Joey did an open mic night in Strood at the pub called Coach and Horses. You know the pub?
Yes.
I think he got that because the landlord was like, you know, Joey was plugging it and he said, yeah, give it a go. So he was hosting it one night. I went along, did a song, a couple of other people went along, Donnie, who you know as well. And I think from then on, then they booked me. It was really bad. So they actually booked me, I think, to carry it on instead of Joey.
Oh, okay.
Because I was there and I did a few songs and they spoke to me afterwards. They said, oh, do you want to host these?
Oh,
and then, how old was I? 16? No, I was older, about 18.
Are you still at sixth form?
Yes, I am.
You're still at sixth form?
Just about to go into college.
Right.
At this point. So yeah, 18, started doing a few open mic nights there. They didn't last too long though. And then I think they sort of reignited when I met Jason, who you know as well. So we did this thing called Two and Guitar Men.
And that's where I met you at one of these.
Yeah.
Like, I know it's kind of, before we go into like the next chapter of this timeline, what sort of person would you say you was just starting music? Because you're doing music, right, in sick form and stuff. And would you do it in secondary school as well? Not so as much.
I was, but I hadn't built up any socials by that point.
Like, right, so really, Josh Hassel, I'm doing music. Hello, you're in sick form.
Yes, yeah.
So what do you know? What kind of person? What did it give you confidence? Like, I mean, don't tell me too much. Only tell me how much you want to tell me. But was you getting like the ladies? Because you're a good looking guy. You're doing music. Do you know what I mean? Like, are you like the cool guy?
I'll be completely honest. My confidence let me down. Like in that sort of department when I was younger, I was so nervous. Like,
but even though you're doing singing, you're a musician. You're like,
yeah, like, because I still wasn't completely confident in my ability by this point.
Right.
So I was doing music in sixth form, went to college and that. And I just focused on that. And I don't think there were too many sort of, I'll put it like offers. There weren't too many offers, back in those days anyway. But if there were that many offers, I think I would have just like crumbled. I was just like a nervous little kid still. Just sort of like, even though I was 18, 19,
yeah.
I had the mentality of like, oh, I think I'm really bad. Like I wasn't confident in myself.
That's and interesting. You didn't do that cringy thing where you're like, hey, baby, let me play you a song.
No. No, I'd say that came way later.
That came way later.
I was 25.
You've like, done it yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, God, that was a story. No, I'm joking. So I was still building confidence by that point. So I know stereotypically it comes with it, doesn't it? Like, you know, the confidence.
That's what you think.
Yeah, but no, I'd say like early to mid-20s, I sort of grew confidence more and then... got a few ladies.
That's really cool. But what sort of person was you? What sort of friend was you to people around that time? Because obviously, like, we're all different people back then than the people we are now. Like, what sort of person would you say you was back then? I mean, you're just starting music. You say you wasn't really that confident with the ladies, but what sort of friend was you?
I mean, yeah, in general, not just with the ladies. Like, even in college, I just remember... I probably came across like really unsociable, but I wasn't meaning to. I was just like quite sort of nervous still. So I went along. I just remember commuting on my own, commuting on the way back. Didn't really stay long apart from my lectures. So like I got social sort of, I mean, sixth form was better, but actually no, you know what? I think going from secondary school to sixth form, I was in my shell a lot more during sixth form. And I met this guy called Matt Dorrington, who we know.
Right.
I did music with him throughout sixth form. So he was like my only mate, really. Sixth form. Yeah, because we had a common interest. And other than that, and in college as well, I'd say sort of I just kept myself to myself. I lost my train of thought. Sorry, what was the question? Oh, what sort of friend I was?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, speak to people. You know, I'd like to think of myself as like quite nice and kind. But, you know, at the same time, I wasn't outgoing. I wouldn't sort of like put myself out there and... be really sort of like helpful, like in your face, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just kept myself to myself. But yeah.
That's interesting. Mm. So when did you start properly writing? Because you say that you're doing the weddings, you're starting doing the gigs, probably doing open mic nights. At what point, because you did say that your songwriting was kind of the one that was in the mist a little bit. You could see it, but it wasn't like in proper clear vision, the songwriting. When does the songwriting then come into your life and go, hello, and you start like prolifically writing?
I'd say prolifically writing when I was in college and I started working with this guy called Simon Brenner, who was in the band Talk Talk. And I'd say during that point, because he wrote a load of songs for me, and that sort of gave me a taste for it. So I started writing songs myself after I sang all of his songs and did this like.
So
wait,
backtrack. That's because a lot of people may not even know this.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, with this podcast, I'm going to come across two different types of people. I'm going to come across people who I do not know, and as I'm talking to them, I'm learning about them for the first time. But then I'm going to talk to people like you who I do know, but then. I mean, even during this conversation, I'm still learning stuff about you. I don't even know, even though I've known you since October 2017. But a lot of people that think they know you will not know about this talk thing because you don't really talk about it.
Yeah.
Like, you don't. You could easily go into a room and be like, yeah, I've worked with Simon Brenner from Talk Talk, didn't I? Yeah. But you could open with that at your gigs and stuff. Yeah, I'm a big deal. You could put that on your poster.
Yeah.
But you, no one knows.
Yeah.
Simon Brenner from Talk Talk approached you and the way you just come out, you're just like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. But that's a cool thing. Like, how did that happen?
I'll just say the reason I don't really mention it too much, because I've mentioned it before and it's sort of like, I don't know, it doesn't really make it such a big noise. I just sort of, yeah. But anyway, that came across because I was in college and I think he saw a YouTube video of mine. Got my email address from somewhere. It might maybe from the college I was at, because the college I was at was called ACM.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a sort of famous college for musicians. Like Ed Sheeran went there. Mountford and Sons went there. So I think he must have got my emails from there or something. And he emailed me saying, like, oh, he's written all these songs. He likes my voice. He'd like me to come up to London and record these songs with him.
How does that make you feel at that point?
Well, the thing is, I didn't know who he was. So I sent it to my dad. And dad's got a bit more know-how in the industry. So he realised it was Simon Brenner from Talk Talk, who were big in the 80s.
Yeah, huge.
Like a few big singles, yeah. So, yeah, he told me that. And then he said I should go for it. So I emailed him back saying, like, I'd love to. And, yeah, we arranged a date. And then I went up to London to meet him. I think the first song we recorded was called The Notes, which is on YouTube, but it's like it wasn't the biggest one we did. And then it just sort of went from there. Did like 9 songs with him up in London.
So what? 9 songs of what? What songs are these songs that he wrote?
The songs that he wrote. And it was kind of like an experimental thing for him. He was just getting back into music. He'd been out of it for a long time after quitting the band. And so he just wrote all these songs. He didn't really know where it was going, to be honest. He thought we'd call ourselves Thinking Stream, the name of the project. So we sort of went under that name. As I say, did 8-9 songs in really cool studios right around London. He spent a lot of money on it, you know, like got proper musicians in, people from like overseas doing the sounds, bringing it back to us. And I think at the end, it was like a year's project. He just ran out of money in the end. He couldn't continue it. But it was really fun while it lasted. And,
Thinking Stream. This is Byron Bay.
Yes, yeah, we did.
So Simon Brenner wrote this song called Byron Bay. Mm,
yeah.
Gonna drive to Byron. And So he wrote that. You've done a music video of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on you. But that's not on Spotify, is it?
I don't think so. It should be because it's on online everywhere.
Because that music video is really good, and it's such an earworm of a song.
Yeah.
It's such a good melody. It's such a good song, and it's quite funny. And we'll talk about your trips later on, but you went to Australia and went to Byron Bay.
Yeah,
and I'm not even joking. I remember thinking he's in Byron Bay, like he's gonna send me a video or do something, and you did.
Yeah.
But like, something's gonna happen where he sings that song.
Yeah.
But I did not expect you to get a guitar. And then sing a video of you singing that song.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It was just, for me, that was quite cool. But that was a really good song. It's a really good video. You've got this Volkswagen, like, camper, beach vibes.
Yeah.
Before you can drive.
Yeah.
But that song wasn't... That wasn't filmed in Australia, was it?
No. So Simon's partner had been out into Australia. And I think they both came up with the idea collectively. So, and he had people out in Australia in Byron Bay sending over the footage, but the actual music video was done in London, a place called Ryslip. And, so it was done on this little beach. I was like 18. I went to the camp. I didn't actually drive the camper van, but like it was filmed like I was driving it. It was a really fun day, really fun day. Like we had the acoustic guitar out, about 6 of us all sort of singing the song in the camper van. It was great fun. And a few scenes with mum and dad in it as well.
Yeah. It is a good video, and I tried to look for it on Spotify and I can't find it. But okay. if you haven't heard this song, Josh Hassell, Byron Bay, it's under Thinking Stream, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Thinking Stream, Byron Bay, and it's actually a really good video. It's a really good video. It's one of those videos that you will smile when you're watching it.
Yeah,
you will smile when you're watching it.
It's a cheesy song. Yeah, but as you say, it's catchy.
It's
got the message across. That's what Simon was going for.
Yeah, it's really good. So that whole thing happens, and that's cool.
Mm.
When you actually initially met him, because you didn't really know who he was, I'm guessing you was quite chill about it. Because like, if it was someone that you knew, you'd be like, but like, you obviously was chill, or did you act a bit like kind of like whoa when your dad told you who it was?
Yeah.
Did you then was a bit like, oh god?
Yeah, because my dad told me. I sort of got myself psyched up a little bit. So when I met him, it's a long time. It was 10 years ago. So I'm just trying to recall how I was feeling when I first met him. I think it was definitely nerves, though. I did feel some nerves. Even in the recording, like I don't think I sang perfectly because there were a lot of nerves, but all went well in the end. I mean, we had a full day in the studio, so it all went well. Got a picture at the end as well. It was a really, really cool day. Really nice meeting him. Really lovely guy.
That's really awesome. Yeah. Like, fair play. Mm. And like I said, there's a lot of people who are going to listen to this who will not know that and be like, what?
Yeah.
But that is honestly really, really cool. And like, cheers. Like, well done. That is awesome.
Thank you.
So did that give you inspiration to start writing then?
Yeah, because he'd written all these songs for me to sing. Mm. I thought to myself, oh, I should do this. I should write some songs of my own.
And then you're writing a lot. Now, I'm going to say this. Do you know how many songs you, Josh Hassell, has got on Spotify?
12 each, something like 12 each album, so 20. I'm going to say 52.
Ooh, interesting. You've got on Spotify, you've got 40 songs.
Oh, okay, right.
But like, you release albums.
Yeah.
And that's really cool because I would still class us as like, you know, upcoming kind of like artists learning the trade.
Mm.
Like, I wouldn't have the confidence to put out an album because I would just be like, no one's going to listen to that because why would they? Mm. It's like me turning around and going, hey, I know you don't know me and you don't know me as a musician or whatever, but listen to a full album of my music, please.
Mm.
And I just didn't think they would do it. I would never do it. But you've done 3 albums? Is it 3?
3 albums, yeah.
3 full albums.
Yeah.
An EP that you released October last year. Like, you say at the start of this that when it come to yourself as Josh Hassell, you was nervous and introverted. But when it comes to you singing, you was confident. But when you're writing a song, that is on behalf of Josh Hassell. That is you. When you write a song, that's you, isn't it?
Mm.
So why didn't it make you nervous to show people you writing songs?
I think the confidence had just built up a bit more by then. First album was 2016. So as I say, the project with Simon gave me a bit more motivation for it. And then did the album. And I think I was confident enough to release it by then. I'd done That's Just How the Tune Goes, my first song.
Mm-hmm.
A few people have said to me, that was a really good song, you should release it. They gave me confidence. So friends and family, I'd say, pushed me to do it. Released the album and glad that people liked it. I mean, not every song people are going to like, I get that.
What was that first album called?
Premonitions.
That was Premonitions,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, there were some crap songs on there, but there were some decent ones.
Well, that's
ones
your first
okay
project.
Well.
Like, your first section of songs, yeah. you're gonna have some terrible ones, and I even now will write terrible ones, and I'm pretty sure you do. We all do. We all write terrible ones, but you know, when you're first starting out, you just put it out.
Yeah.
But like nowadays, no one's going to be hearing our terrible songs.
No. Yeah.
But what's interesting is Premonitions is an absolute banger of a song. It's one of those songs that you would easily hear in a movie somewhat.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's such a good song. But the thing that kind of got me is, there is 2 different music videos of this song. So on the 4th of April 2016, there's a slower version of Premonitions. And then just over a year later, on the 15th of April 2017, so 2016, sorry, slower version, 2017 is the faster version. What happened there? Like, why?
The slower version. So yeah, it was originally written slower and did the music video with Harry Bristow in Brighton. Little shout out to Harry Bristow there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started working with, how did it come about? This guy called Ville, Finnish producer up in Bermondsey. He sort of like, I can't remember how it came across. Was it? I think it was an email. So he emailed me. It was similar to the Simon situation. And he said like, oh, I've heard some of your songs online, like the first album, That's Just How the Tune Goes, stuff like that. Really like your songs, like your demos. Would you fancy coming up for a meeting and we can chat further? Like, because I've worked with this person. So he was a producer up in London Way. So we arranged a meeting. And you know, he had a lot of experience, this guy. So I went to the studio with him. It was his idea basically to rewrite Premonitions in a faster way. And at first I was kind of hesitant about it, but then I thought about it and we did some experiments with it and it sounded really good actually, faster. So I went for that And we did not just that one, but three other tunes we sort of remade in his studio. And he said he was going to help me release it, put it under his label and, you know, give me a bit of a push for it. So, yeah, that's why that changed, that song. It was his idea, really. It was his sort of creative input, which actually worked out really well.
It's a great song. It's Thank a great you. Song. Josh Hassell, Premonitions. Stream that on Spotify. That is, it's just a great song.
Thank you.
You have written a lot of songs. And as a songwriter myself, our songs are like our babies.
Yeah.
Little babies. But if you was, but like all parents, and they won't tell you, they've always got a favourite kid, haven't they? So,
yeah, they're true, actually, yeah.
There's a funny, Kevin Hart done this lie detector test.
Yeah.
I think it was with GQ Magazine or something, and on the lie detector, they say to him, like, you know, about your kids, like, have you got a favourite? And he goes, absolutely not. And he's smirking, and the lie detector's going, it's so funny. But, yeah. Like, if you was going to single out your songs, your kids, what would you say is, like, your favourite ones you've written, like, off the top of your head? Like, what is your favourite songs you're just really proud of to this day?
I'd say Premonitions, Some Other Time, which so a couple of songs which people probably won't know as well, like album tracks. Some Other Time, Since the Day We Met, because I remember the story why I wrote that song very clearly. I'd say those three. Yeah, those three.
So Since the Day We Met,
Premonitions, and Some Other Time, which people won't be expecting. But
Some Other Time, that's interesting. Yeah. I wasn't expecting that either. Because I have got some that I've actually written here on my notes. Byron Bay, I love that song. I do love that song. Since the Day We Met is on there. One of them that I do love, and it's just something about the melody of it that when you initially listen to it, you don't think it's going to get stuck in your head, but it does.
What are you going to say?
What one?
Start with the
smile. Yeah. It's just something about it. You listen to it,
yeah.
And then like a day later or that later that day or week, you end up just singing the chorus.
That was redone with Villay, that one.
Was it?
Because on the first album, that was different. The arrangement was different for that song.
Was it?
So Premonitions, Started With a Smile, First Time, which was originally First Love, and Since the Day We Met were all redone.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, Started With a Smile. Fall. I've written down here something about Fall that I just go back to when I listen to the Josh Hassell catalogue of songs. And another one, which I'm surprised you haven't mentioned, is Anything But Me.
Oh, okay, interesting.
Yeah. No, that a better man.
Yeah, I remember having a conversation with you actually years ago about that song, and it was too long. Like, I think it was a good idea, a good chorus,
right? But yeah,
could have been punchier, you know.
Yeah.
So I think that's why I didn't mention it, but
melodically, it's like one of those songs. Like you could just hear someone just playing an instrumental on the piano. It's got one of those sort of melodies. I do like that. I do like that song.
Oh, cool.
But like, you mentioned at the start about Bublé. And I think, like, just listening to your vocal, I can hear that now. You mentioned Bublé well early on.
Hmm.
Was he, like, an early inspiration for you then?
Yeah, I'd say parents again, they sort of said, like, your voice suits Michael Bublé and that kind of music. So they suggested I did Home for that first school concert. I think, well, the second one I did. And, yeah, it was a bit of an inspiration, yeah, because he sang... the way he sang was very suitable to my voice. Yeah.
So, if you're going to do a Mount Rushmore of four artists, actually, they don't have to be artists. They can be like, you know, your dad or anyone that have been influential, inspirational in your musical journey. Who are they? Is Bublé on there at all? Or who else? Four.
So, my dad would definitely be on there. He's the reason that I got into music. So my dad, Ed Sheeran, because he's the reason I picked up a guitar.
Yep.
In the first place. I'd put Michael Bublé actually there as well. first few songs I sang, and very similar to kind of my preferred style.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth one is difficult. It can't be someone I like. It needs to be someone. Someone who actually made me start the journey, regardless whether I like him or not. It's a tough one. I'd say, You know what? I think I'd say my sister.
Okay.
Yeah, because my dad and my sister were both musical. My sister did music back in university when she was there. So, yeah, I think without the musical influence in the family, I don't think I'd be doing it, to be fair.
That's really interesting. Mm. That's really cool. But, like, I want to mention, because out of the blue, you did drop this self-titled EP, Josh Hassell. I think you dropped it in October, at the end of last year. You didn't do that much marketing for it. You just was like, hey, everyone got the EP out. It's like, what the heck?
Yeah.
And there's four songs on this, and like, I don't want to run out of time. So I do want to talk about these four songs, because I'd say these are like who you are now. And as songwriters, we do like to talk about the reason why I wrote these songs and stuff. So like, obviously, would you be up for track by track talking about your inspirations of writing these songs?
100%, yeah.
So Josh Hassell, self-titled EP, the title track, Top of the World. So it seems to me, I mean, don't only talk about how much you want to talk about, but listening to that, and I re-listened to it yesterday, it's a holiday romance, it seems. Like a holiday romance sort of thing. I feel like you're mentioning a lot of places that you went to, and like you're kind of reflecting at San Francisco Airport, talking about all these different things. You had this amazing trip in the west of America, by the sounds of things.
Yeah.
And you just sound like you're very happy about how the trip went, but it also seems, I don't know, is there like a person there, that, like a girl there?
No, it's just about like the feeling of being with that group. Like, I loved that group.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was, I wasn't expecting to be so attached, but you know, I went across to LA and did, you know, 10 days across the west coast of America. And I was with a massive group of people, and like they just became so attached to me. Like by the end of it, I was sad I was leaving and stuff like that. And mentioned the Grand Canyon, San Francisco, and stuff. Yeah, so went to some awesome places, met some great people, but no one in particular, just the whole group.
Oh, it's a group. Really. That's really group. Cool. Yeah, that's really awesome. Cool. Mm. That's really awesome. So, yeah, you went to the west coast of America. You went to Australia recently as well.
Yeah.
You've done some really epic trips recently, haven't you?
I love it. I love traveling.
You love traveling?
Yeah, I love
you do love traveling.
Because
we've been away. Mm. We went... Where have we been together? We went to...
New York,
Miami. We went to New York, Miami.
Amsterdam. I think that might be...
Budapest,
yes.
Oh my God, I'm actually wearing...
Oh, yeah.
And we're in the Hard Rock Cafe Budapest. We went to Budapest as well. Have we been anywhere else? We went out to Manchester together.
Yeah.
To see that KSI Logan Paul fight.
That's it.
Do you remember?
Yeah. Does that count?
Yeah. I don't know.
It's a trip. Yeah, we'll count that. Yeah, why not?
Traveling. Yeah, let's touch on traveling then quickly. Yeah.
Okay.
You love it, don't you?
Like, yeah.
You've done a hell of a lot of trips, like with your friends and stuff.
Yeah, like when I became single, sort of like started lockdown, when I was like part out of like a really serious relationship, I just thought to myself, I want to go do some traveling now, you know, no commitments, why not? So I looked up this group on online called Contiki Travel Group.
Mm-hmm.
So you go out and join this group, and then like, you know, you're with a massive bunch of people, could be like 50, up to about 50 people, traveling wherever. They do, you know, trips all around the world. And yeah, I just wanted to see some places. Grand Canyon was like my number one aim before.
Why was
I went
that?
To see that. Just the sheer spectacle of it, you know, and the like, just the feeling of being there was amazing. So yeah, seeing all the wonders of the world—that's my aim, right? So I've seen the Great Barrier Reef now, which I'm so glad I did. I'd like to go see, you know, to Rio, see the Christ the Redeemer statue, many more wonders, you know, Peru, Niagara Falls. So yeah, just want to see it all.
Wants to see it all.
I don't have the money for it. That's the thing.
I know. It's
got to do some saving.
You're like, if you made it, you would just take a few years out and just go and see the freaking world, wouldn't you?
I think so. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, top of the world. Then that's really cool that you mentioned traveling, because traveling is something you just love.
Mm.
Okay, the next one, Mistakes. So, Mistakes. It comes across like. The first, the song that I thought of when I heard your song was Bless the Broken Road by Rascal Flatts, just for the pure reason is it's God Bless the Broken Road that led me straight to you. It's almost like with this song, Mistakes, you're kind of embracing the fact that you've made some mistakes and you've messed up, basically. But you're thankful for that. And who you are now is a reflection of the past. But it came across like that, really. Like, I can't change the past. I can't change it. This is who I am now, and that's what it is. Like, that's how it came across to me. But how, what's it for you?
Yeah, I think you're right, to be fair. I think it's pretty spot on. So embracing those mistakes, accepting who you are, accepting what you've done wrong, what you've done right, and being at peace with it. That's the song in a nutshell, really. And just, you know, sort of saying, this is who I am. You know, might not be to everyone's taste, but I know I've done wrong, what I've done right. And not about anyone in particular, just sort of like, it's a very self-reflecting kind of song.
Are you a nostalgic person? Do you think about the past a lot?
Yeah, yes and no. I do have moments when I do, and I think to myself, like, well, I think we all do, don't we? We all reflect every now and then. Think I could have done this better. Maybe I didn't do this in life, you know.
I think also as like creatives, I think
we tend to force
ourselves to go back into places we don't really want to go, but it will inspire a song. The reason why a moment when I listened to this song I thought of, it's going to sound so weird, and you're going to be like, what?
Okay.
During COVID, during that whole hokey cokey Boris Johnson thing, was like, you must stay inside, and you must go outside. Yeah. No, actually, go back inside, no, go outside. During the time where he went, no, go outside, I remember you called me up, and you were just chatting. I said, what'd you do today? You went, I just went for a walk.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, where'd you go? And you went, I walked to Gad's Hill, my old school.
Yes.
I remember, so you just walked there.
Yeah.
And I was like, why? And then, I was like, because I kind of know you, and you do go through like periods of like reflection and stuff. Like, I think that's you, and there's no harm in that. Initially, I probably should have been like, well, Josh, Boris has given you the first taste of freedom, and the first thing you do is walk to a school. Like, whoa, like, woo, 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 woo. Could you pull a step away from the school, sir? Woo, woo. But, like, it's just like, I think you went there to try and just have a touch of the past, like the good times.
Yeah, I think so. It was quite not long distance either, really.
No.
I was going there just to feel a bit nostalgic and just, it's nice to be by yourself every now and then. Just put your music in and then, just like unwind and zone out while you're on a walk. Like,
yeah, and that's what for some reason, that phone call made me think of this song. I don't know, it just kind of connected.
Okay.
Because, like, as a songwriter myself, like, I'm quite. Go down to the past and stuff.
Yeah. It does help with inspiration.
100%. 100%.
Yeah.
Too nice. Too nice. Now, I'm not going to even assume on this one.
Yeah.
But there is actually a line that you use in this song. I'm always looking behind.
Yeah.
And it kind of connects with what we've just spoken about.
Yeah.
But mistakes. Like, I messed you around. I apologised. I should have shut it down way sooner. Because I knew for you it was over.
Yeah.
Whoa!
I've got to say, right, this is the deepest song on that EP.
Yes.
You probably got the sense of it. But yes. There was a relationship, and I don't think I've ever really, really got over it. I think I'm still kind of... That was the one... I keep referring... Like, it's bad, but I've had relationships since. And when I don't feel the same, I just think back to that particular relationship. I think I don't feel the same as I did then, and it's happened a few times. And that was a song based on a little relationship I had with someone who I didn't feel the same about, as strongly about, I guess, really.
On the other end, there's a reason why that relationship didn't work.
Yeah.
So why do you want the same? Would you want to chase something different instead?
I think more of the good times, and I don't know, I block out the bad times. I don't know why I do it, but I just do.
I think
the good times in that particular relationship were the best times.
Yeah.
I have to admit, they were the best times, and I block out the bad ones, the bad times.
But we all do, because, you know, when you break up with somebody, whatever, like, oh, they're terrible.
Yeah.
But then as time goes on, that anger, that it does go, that's natural, that is natural. And it's a lot of times where you do see people going back to their exes, because they then forget about why they broke up in the first place, and all of a sudden the fun stuff happens, but then they eventually then go back to, oh, this is why we broke up, like, you know, you support Tottenham, like, it's like, so what you just said there is, that's just fine, that's just being human, that's what it is. Like, I mean, you know, I'm in a relationship now, but like when I write songs, I mean, I do write, you know, kind of depressing-y breakup songs. I haven't broken up with the person I'm with, so quite clearly I'm writing it about past inspiration. Doesn't mean anything. Like, she doesn't care. She's just like, it's fine. So there's no harm in that whatsoever, but it's a very, very deep song.
It's basically just about, like, the lyrics, like, as, you know, they mention being hesitant, being too nice, basically not saying no there and then. Carrying it on, even though you're thinking this isn't right, and then, you know, you sort of say no later on, you end up hurting them more, and
But it's also up for interpretation, this song, which is the beauty of it, because I didn't get that from this song. I got from this song the point of view where you was dating somebody, but you was like, I'm not feeling this. I'm not feeling this, and I kind of want to just, I feel bad for saying I'm done. I just want, I continued with it for too long than I should have, and I've kind of led you on a bit. So you kind of get that vibe from this song as well. So even though it's about your personal deep situation, it's also up for interpretation on the other end.
It is.
And that's the best part about that song.
Yeah. I'm glad you see it that way.
So, like, and that is why, like, I love and respect your lyricism, because to put yourself out there like that in a song like that, like, fair play. Like, do you know
what
I mean?
Thank you. Yeah.
Like you don't leave any stone unturned. Like, if you go through your entire Josh Hassell catalogue, there's so... What is that song where... I'm so sorry, I forgot the title. Where you talk about... Out of the Picture. Yeah, where you talk about On the Edge. Like, that's so deep.
It is really deep.
Like, you go there. Yeah. You go there, man.
Yeah.
Like, what?
I think my rawness sometimes isn't a good thing. I've been told before that I'm too raw. Like, I express my emotions in songs literally with no filters, no sugarcoating, and it's...
There's no such thing as too raw. Like, that's bad. You do what you got to do, man.
Yeah.
Because that's how people are going to relate to you.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as too raw. Go in. Go in. Like, I want to see the gooey stuff. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I want to be taken on a journey. And when I listen to when you listen to those deeper songs, like, it's just like, rah. It's just, and I got a lot. I remember when I first listened to Out the Picture, I was like, jeez.
Yeah. It's like, you know, because that's why I put Some Other Time in that category before, because that's a very raw song. And I just remember what I was feeling at that time. And they're the best songs when the lyrics come really naturally. Yeah. Like, it doesn't take long to write at all.
Exactly.
It's like 5 minutes. Like, Almost Perfect was another one. Another one, which was just like very easy to write.
And lastly, Just So You Know. Talk to me about that one.
Okay, so that was like an older song. That wasn't actually something I was feeling at the time, to be fair. It was just a song that I had written years prior, and I thought, that's a decent little hook line. I might record this and put it on the EP. But it was just like, it's again related to a breakup. It's about wanting to sort of stay friends, and literally for no reason, you don't want to get back with them. That's not the reason. I didn't want to get back with this person. But you just wanted to stay friends.
Yeah.
Maybe some people can't relate, but that's how I was generally feeling.
Do you still feel that way now?
No. But that's the thing. It's not like a really new song, because I'm not feeling exactly that way now. But like, whereas Too Nice, Mistakes, they were more recent. But Just So You Know was an older song, which I just decided to put on there.
And that is this EP. That is this EP. Josh Hassell, self-titled.
Yeah.
And stream it. If you haven't listened to it yet, stream it, because you didn't do any marketing for it. You're just like, there we go, there's an EP, yeah, guys.
I did, yeah.
Listen to that. I'm going to go and have a churro.
Go to Australia. I literally went off like a few days after.
Yeah, exactly. You're to Australia. Yeah. There's one last thing that I do want to mention. I don't know how you get time for all of this stuff, but now when I ask this, I don't need to think like, well, that's a bit harsh, mate. But it's like, there's so many different versions. You've got the Josh Hassel singer-songwriter. You've got the Josh Hassel who does like the pubs and clubs. You've got the Josh Hassel who will do weddings. But there's other elements to the Josh Hassel music tree. You do bands, you do duos. Now, you was in a band called Amity.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay. That didn't last long.
There was a band called Amity.
I do remember that.
It was with Priya.
Was that with you? Oh, no, it was. Yeah,
it was with Priya and Connor Moody.
Yeah.
You was Jay Dreamers.
Yes, yeah.
You was also in a one with me, Red Bay Flow. We did a duo together.
Yeah, we did.
There's a new one come out called Sundown Solstice.
Yep.
That you're still doing videos for now.
Yeah.
And the one that's lasted the longest of the lot, Rose and Jay.
Rose and Jay.
He was also in another band we spoke about the other day, this big band with Jason Wilson Ross. It was a big band kind of thing there.
Yes.
He was in.
Yeah. No, not Jason. I think I know what you mean. Jason wasn't in it. It was called Queen Guillotine.
That was
Lee,
it.
Lee, Ross, Matt, and Eddie and Nick on guitar and bass, respectively. But yeah, that only lasted about a year because eventually members left and it was hard to sort of bring it back together.
But it was, you've been in a lot of other things. Why do you do all these other things?
Fun, really. Fun out of anything else.
Do you get bored on your own sometimes?
I think there is an element where I do these solo gigs like weekend after weekend and I'm thinking, yeah, it's fun, you know, get all the money to myself as well. But no, I generally did want to be in a duo or a band to just get that feeling of being with others and having that banter and being on the road with other people and playing on stage with other people. Yeah, it's quite exhilarating. So
the one that's lasted the test of time is one you're still currently posting about and doing stuff with, and that is Rose and Jay.
Rose and Jay, yeah.
So as much as people will want to listen to your music after this, there's also music out from Rose and Jay, and you do weddings together. It's with Olivia Robertson.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about that.
Okay, so that started 2018. A friend of a friend recommended, like, I work with this person, Olivia. She sings. So, yeah, we started the duo from there. We did loads of wedding fairs when we started out. We were thinking, we should go solely for weddings. That's our best chance of getting gigs. So did loads of wedding fairs. We've done quite a few weddings now. 6 years on? A lot of pub gigs as well. So we kind of vary our set list to all sorts of functions. But I'd say we've done more weddings. She used to sing herself solo before she met me. She used to be with another guitarist as well. So she's done music for quite a long time. And we have an EP out as well. Yeah. We've got 4 tracks on there. That was 2021. So we do need to record some more stuff, which we are working on. It's going to take some time, but we are going to release some newer things eventually. So it's going well. Done quite a few gigs together. And at the moment, recording some new songs.
That's really cool to hear. Yeah. So, by the sounds of things, potentially in the future, we've got some Rose and Jay content coming out.
Potentially, yeah.
You can also see you two doing gigs out on the road sometimes, because you do the occasional appearance together, and you do the occasional wedding fair as well.
Yeah.
Do we expect this year any Josh Hassel music coming out?
I don't think this year. I'd say next year to be safe.
What are we saying? We're going to drop some random EP out of nowhere, or we're going to go for an album?
Yeah, with no warning at all. I think it'll be an album. Yeah,
okay.
I've done the EP, and to be fair, we'll promote that a bit more throughout the year, this year. But then next year, I think it might be the time when I can release another album. At the moment, I'm working on a cover CD. So you know I used to do CDs, which is like covers.
I remember, yes, yeah.
So, I'm going to work on one of those for people at gigs and hand them out to people at gigs and at weddings and etc. So choose a range of covers that I want to put down on a CD.
That's cool.
Slowly but surely.
I've got to say this, I've said this to other people, as well. I think I've even said this to you, but one of the things I do want to finish up on is, like, we're here doing this podcast thing. Mm. I've done music. All of the stuff that I do, all of the stuff that I'm doing, it would never, ever have happened if I never met you in October 2017. It is, honestly, it is generally the truth.
Right.
Like, when I met you, I was in the worst place. The worst place. Mm. Came out of a long-term relationship. Like, I had to rediscover myself. I had to find friends. I had no friends because I was in that sort of relationship where I only need this. Yeah. That's all I need. And people do that. And then if I came out of it, I had nothing. No one. And a mutual friend of ours, Gina Uden, now Gina Collins, she got married. Congratulations, Gina. Mm-hmm. She takes me to this Two and Guitar Man open mic night that you was running with Jason Wilson. I meet you and we just get along. Yeah. Write songs. First song we wrote together was a song called Your Eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
We done a duo together.
Wow.
Like, that was ages ago, was it? Mm. Your Eyes. We went to football matches together.
Yeah.
I remember one day we wrote a song. U123, yeah. We then drove to Dover to watch Dover play Sutton, mm-hmm. and then we came back and done a YouTube video. Like, you gave me confidence to write, but obviously the duo ended because it was just too much for you, like, especially for your vocal as well.
Yeah.
It was killer for your vocal, because, like, I was, like, on the lower harmony, you done the higher bit.
And with, like, gigs and stuff, yeah.
It was too much for your vocal. I remember we done gigs where you lost your voice. Mm. But, like, the thing is, it's like, I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't meet you. Like, you, it sounds kind of crazy, but you talk about these people that took a chance on you, Simon Brenner, and the person that made you re-record these versions of your songs. But, like, I feel like you kind of took a chance on me. You was like, because I remember I said to you at the open mic night, because you were singing, like, Attention Charlie Puth. You were so, like, confident, and you had, like, this swag about you at these open mic nights. I just thought you was cool. Mm. I said to you, it was like, if you think my original songs are good, do you want to write with me? Mm. And you were, all right, if you regard this. I went, no.
I didn't sound like that. No, carry on.
But you said that you write with me. I said, no, because you're good. And if you think I suck, then it's just not going to work, is it?
Yeah, yeah.
But I'd done these songs and you immediately came up to me when I finished.
Yeah.
And you said you're good. And then we started writing together. But that, honestly, this is true. This podcast, all the things I've done wouldn't have happened if I didn't admit you. Oh, like, you genuinely gave me so much confidence in myself. And, like, I just wanted you to be first on this.
Mm.
Because you talk about people who I want to interview, who I want to talk to.
Can you have that on your wall? Josh Hassel got me into
music. You're pushing it.
Right, okay.
You're pushing okay. But it generally is true.
Yeah.
And, like, I just think you're a nice guy. I think you're a great guy. And I wish you all the best with the Rose and Jay stuff.
Thank you.
I wish you all the best in your future album and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I also wish you all the best for Chelsea later on. Big Chelsea.
Oh, yeah, big Chelsea. Come on, Chelsea. Yeah. If Chelsea win, I'll do an album this year.
If Chelsea win.
If not, it'll be next year.
Right, okay. We've got an exclusive there. So if they listen to this, they'll be like, oh, Chelsea. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Okay, that's good. But honestly, thank you for being the first person on this.
No worries, thank you.
I'm still learning. I have no idea really what I'm doing in regards to interviewing and podcasting. But, like, at least you've made me feel like...
you can do it.
Thank you for coming on.
No worries.
And yeah, all the best.
Thank you very much. Cheers, Alex. Big up Alex Lane, everyone.
Oh, I'm like, so you're known around the gig circuit, but yeah. I am only briefly known in far rural areas. Like, that's where they'll know me. Like, out in the country, someone may know. Oh yeah, Alex Lane. Yeah.
So I might map it out somewhere.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Josh, thank you so much for coming on.
No worries, my pleasure.
Episode 1 of the Continue Cast, Josh Hassel.